Hey, good morning to you all. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's great to have you with us. You got your cup of coffee waking up with us this morning?
Oh, man, I've been awake for a long time.
Oh, my goodness. We'll just have you come in and do the show here for Kelly and me. So we're kind of used to it. But, hey, Mark, science, you know, a lot of folks are talking, too, about next month and the total eclipse, the solar eclipse. A lot of people fascinated about that. But let's talk a little bit about science, because sometimes science and Christianity can kind of butt heads, right?
Yeah, and that frankly is quite unfortunate. I mean, the purpose of science is simply to observe the creation that God has given to us. I think of passages like Proverbs 25:2, which says that the glory of God to conceal a matter, and it's the glory of kings to uncover it. Our responsibility is huge in the Christian faith to recognize that to enact science is simply an act of worship. Frankly, everything is an act of worship for us as Christians. Whatever it is that we do, we give everything back to Him and the glory that He deserves. And certainly, science is just one aspect of life that we deal with.
Hey, Mark, this is Kelly. I got to tell you, I get tickled every time that Linda and I run across a published article that clearly states the Bible accounts of whatever it is they're discussing must actually be true. Oh, my goodness, science has proven the Bible yet again. So I have to kind of giggle when I see those things. But how do we begin to bridge this gap? Like, you know, like Linda said, science and the Bible, sometimes they butt heads. How do we bridge that gap?
Yeah, right. I could tell you many, many stories about how many times I giggle, too. It's just amazing to me how the public sphere takes sometimes hundreds of years to catch up to what was written in the book of Leviticus, for instance. But that's a whole nother discussion, perhaps for another day. Let me begin with just a very simple phrase, the phrase human rights. When I think about the phrase human rights and when I hear scientists talk about human rights, the first two questions I have is, what is special about humans and who gives rights? And so when we talk about the issue of science, science has to literally borrow Christian ethics. That is, they have to smuggle in terms such as should or values. And my comment to folks is always the same. Anytime you use the word should, you have already assumed a standard of ethics. And so when scientists tell us that they are going to do certain things or that we should be doing certain things, they have automatically moved into the area of theology. And so the issue then for the scientist is to recognize their responsibility. Let me just give you one example of this. I was reading the Wall Street Journal this last week, and the title of the article is "The Gene Editors Are Only Getting Started." And the question there was, should we eradicate malaria insects and change a baby's DNA? And Jennifer Doudna from the UC Berkeley has written a new book called Kraken Creation. And in this particular book, she is talking about how genetics and science can literally change the DNA of human persons. But listen to what she says in this article. This is a fascinating statement. She says, "I am not a religious person, but it's more, I just don't know, a sort of intrinsic reaction that feels like a realm where maybe we shouldn't be messing around." Oh my word, a realm where we shouldn't be messing around. As soon as she used the word shouldn't, she has already established a basis for ethics, and she knows that there's right and wrong, and the question then becomes, what should we do?
You know, that is fascinating. Wow, thank you for sharing that article with us, because, you know, that's so she's got questions, and she's also in her conscience knowing that, okay, there's some, should we be going in this direction? Mark, you know, when we start even as simply with science, you know, we always get the questions sometimes. We've done trips, obviously, down to the Creation Museum and that kind of thing. And but people always bring up the issue of, well, what about the age of the earth and dinosaurs and things like that when we're trying to, how do we deal with those things just on an average conversation with someone that we're just trying to open the doorway to talk about Christ?
Well, Genesis 1:1-2:3 is dealing with issues of who, that is God, and why, that is purpose and reason for the creation. There is a little bit about how in Genesis 1:1-2:3, but there's not much about when. And so, frankly, I really think that we veer in a different direction if we want to talk about age or the question of timing. I think, rather, we should focus our attention on why. And that is, what is it about the creation that we marvel at and we say, wow, this is really something. We should stand in awe of this. I think of the Psalms, for instance, Psalm 64 through 67 for the listeners, I think would be really a powerful reconnection to this. In Psalm 64 through 67, there are statements that are made over and over again. All mankind fears, tell what God has done, and they ponder over his works. This is an opportunity for worship for us. So when we look at the scientific discoveries that God has allowed us to make all around us, I think it's a powerful statement for us to worship. So our focus, I think, ought to be on the why question, not on the when question. And then when we focus on that, we really do open up a better conversation with folks, I think.
Hey, Mark, you've mentioned so far the why and the when, and you've also talked about should and shouldn't. Are there other words, terminology, verbiage that we should really hone in on and listen carefully for when we're talking with people about maybe articles yes. we've read, or they want to say, no, science says this?
Right, yeah, exactly. I always ask questions of folks. In fact, I was in a conversation about this very thing this last week, and my question to start off the conversation was, what is the source of, and fill in the blank. You know, if folks want a way to engage these kinds of issues, that's what I would say. Where did you get this from? What's the origin of this concept or this idea? And then the second question I had was, what is the outcome if we do this? So what is the outcome of something? So we start with origins or the source. Where does this thing come from? Then we go to the outcomes. What's the end result of it? And then the third question I always ask folks is, well, what are the immovable principles that we can both abide by? What are the things that we both say, yes, this has to be in order for us to even have this discussion? And so when we talk about a universal principle, then we go back to the first question, where did that universal principle come from? It's a transcendent source. And of course, from the Christian vantage point, you know, we're looking at the triune, eternal, personal creator, the one who has sent his son, Jesus. And this is a huge thing for us when we engage folks, is simply to ask questions.
You know, that's where it all starts, doesn't it? Just asking the questions. We're talking about why science must borrow Christian ethics. Our discussion with Dr. Mark Eccles, he's the president of the Comenius Institute in Indianapolis. Mark, it's always a great conversation, and we love kind of having our mind challenged and just new ways that we can engage others in conversation about the gospel.
Yes, I think this is a huge issue for the Christian when we think about how do we tell the story? How do we tell the story of creation? How do we tell the story of Jesus? And I think we need to go back to the questioning. I think we need to go back to storytelling. I think we need to go back to what we read every day in the newspaper and simply ask the question, where did the question or the word should come from, or the word values, or the word beliefs? Anytime we raise these kinds of issues, it's really powerful for us to go back to Scripture and then show folks this is where the ethics come from. If folks are interested, I just posted an article on my website, warpandwoof.org, on morality, which kind of gives a whole basis for this concept of where do ethics come from. The website is warpandwoof.org. That's warpandwoof.org. And I look forward to any kind of connections folks want to make there, too.